Hopefully, when you hear those three verses, a red flag goes up. How can you have all three? Cast your burden on the Lord, bear someone else's burden, and carry your own. Aren't you just supposed to help one another and that's it? Or do I got to carry my own? But it says I got to give them all to God. How can I do all three? I used to wonder about that. The first time a preacher put that in the sermon, I heard it, I never understood it. About 10 days ago, I began doing a little study on that word, burden. And as I began to study on it, I began to realize that there's a little bit more to it than what we have face value. And I want to share with you what it means. The word burden in each of these situations is a little bit different. Not a lot different, but a little bit. In Psalm 55, 22, that word burden is the Hebrew word which says something given by providence or your lot in life. In other words, what God gives you, give back to Him. Something that happens, a trial, a tribulation, that's the burden that's talking about. That's the burden you give to God. Now it says bear one another's burdens in verse 2 of Galatians, and that means this. A burden there is a heavy weight, a load, something that's difficult, almost impossible to carry. It has the idea of being weighted down so much that you can't move as easily. Where the burden you're carrying is dragging you. That's the burden you help someone with. It's like if you see someone with a load of something in their arms, you say, let me get the door for you, or let me help you carry some of that, because I see you're having trouble with that. That's that kind of burden that we help someone else bear. Simple enough, right? The third one, in verse 5. It took me a long time to figure this out. As a matter of fact, during Sunday school, it finally came to me today. Where we carry our own burden. And that burden is like a bill of lading. Like a ship's freight. Or a purchase order when you're going to buy something. It can be the same as when the waitress takes your order and takes that order and puts it up there for the chef to make. That's his burden. That's his bill of order that he has to fill. And in conjunction with the server, they bring the food to your table. That's another idea of how that's meant. If you're farming and you need grain or fertilizer, do you not go to the store with a list of stuff you need and you say, I need this, and then they give you a bill of lading or a bill for what you're buying? Your burden is that you pay for that and you've got to carry that stuff back home. That's your burden, is that you have to carry it. Okay? Now you say, well, okay, that makes sense. Now I have to carry, you know, my responsibility for the things I sign up for, but that's not the intention of what God's saying here. He's not saying that this is something you sign up for. It's what God has signed you up for. That God wrote the bill of lading on your life. That God wrote down what you would be like, what you would talk like, your voice, your parents, what season of the year you'd be born. All these things, the characteristics of you inside the womb, God began to knit and fashion you before you ever came around. And when God did that, He did that in such a way as to say that this is your lot in life. But He added something else to that. And that is that by the time you finish living your days, you would accomplish a certain task if you follow faithfully God's Word. If you follow faithfully God would see to it that you met this task in your life. If you follow God obediently and faithfully, everything about the way you were made works. It's a gift, a skill, a talent, whatever you have that God's given you that will help you to meet the need that God has desired for you to meet. He planned and purposefully thought about your life. Nobody else can live your life. Nobody. To impose it on somebody else or God to carry your life, what you're responsible for, is to deny what God has asked you to do. The burden is what God has for you to do that makes you uniquely you. And I can promise you, there are a lot of people who don't live up to this. I know people who ask people for help that don't need help. Someone might have a very capable ability to do something. They're so used to asking for help that they just say, "Help me do this," out of habit. Let me tell you a story. My godparents' youngest son, his name is Eddie. Eddie was about 3 years old and wanted to go with his older brother, who was my age, and his middle-aged brother, who was a couple years younger than me, on a rock exploration one day. And we said, "You're too young. You can't go." And he said, "I can do it. I want to go." And we told him, "Eddie, if you want to go, we're not going to help you if you should have some trouble, unless you have serious problems." Normally we hope that that would dissuade little Eddie. Eddie was the kind of kid who would eat a mud-shaped cheese ball because we told him it was really a cheese ball, not mud. And we told him, "Eddie, we don't think you should go," but he didn't listen because he really wanted to be with the big boys. So we went. And he was doing okay keeping up, getting a little frustrated because he was lagging behind and we were moving pretty quick. But we got to this place where this water came through two rocks and made like a small waterfall, and Eddie slipped. He slipped and sat right down in a stream of the water above where the waterfall goes. He was completely safe, just cold and wet now. And he sat there going, "Help me, help me, help me." And we were laughing so hard because he was scared, because he thought he was in trouble. And we each went by and looked at him and said, "Eddie, you're fine, just stand up." And he's so used to asking for help. And he's going, "Help me, help me, help me, help me, I'm going to die." And we're just laughing all the more. And he goes, "It's not funny. I'm really going to die." And one of us had a bright idea to ask him, "Eddie, what are you going to die from?" He looked around and said, "Because nobody's helping me up. That's why I'm going to die. I'm going to die from nobody helping me." Don't we get that way sometimes? "God, if you don't help me, I'm going to die." Why? "Because I need help." "What do you need help with?" "I don't know, but I need help." And God says, "You have to learn sometimes to trust the gifts He's given you and to learn what those are." A lot of people have trouble with that. I had a friend yesterday call me. I didn't ask her if I could say this. I hope she forgives me. I'll delete it if she says no on the final copy. But she was frustrated because she didn't know what her purpose was. She knew that God loved her and blessed her, but she just saw her life just nonsensically going forward. No purpose, no direction, just God there. And you know, the only thing I could say was, "You have to wait on God's timing.
That's all I said. You have to wait on God's timing. You can't rush God. Isn't it true? God has a purpose for your life, but you can't make it happen ahead of time. You can get all ready for it, but God still determines when the right time is. Some reason or other, we want to tell God we're ready for what He made us ready for before He lets us do it. There are a lot of people who are eager to please God. But sometimes our zealousness stops us from learning what there is to learn right now. This Galatians 6:5, where it says, bear your own burden, is know your purpose. Everybody must know their purpose for which God created them to be. It's not an option. If you don't know, get before God and ask Him. God, why have You made me? What is my task? What am I here for? I believe my dear friend who saved those three lives in the tornado, his final purpose was to save their lives. If he were to be asked now, what was your purpose in life? My purpose in life was on November 6, 2005, in the middle of a tornado, to save three people's lives. That was my final purpose. And the rest of my life, through the military and other work I've done, keeping me strong and healthy and stocky, a big kid he was, 38-year-old kid, but big, and he was able to use his strength to do something about it. Could it be that all those years, wondering what his life was all about, that all of a sudden it was to save three lives? All of a sudden, in an instant, nobody knows for sure, that he might have found a brand new purpose. And said, wow, I didn't even know. Well, he couldn't have saved those lives, so they needed saving. Couldn't have done it. But he certainly could be ready. I remember several times being at his house when we were kids, and tornado warnings and things like that. And we'd talk about tornadoes because I was interested in them. And he knew what to do when what happened. We talked about that kind of thing. So I know he wasn't wrong when he knew 15 minutes in advance that he had a purpose in that moment to save some lives. Our purpose is discerned at the moment God calls us to do it. We might say, well, my purpose, God, is to, you know, I'm going to save lives for You. But you don't know until you start doing it. And God calls you to the moment, but before then He calls you to be prepared and know that you can. To know your limitations. And your limitations are where other people bear your burden. If you know you can't do it without help, let someone else bear your burden. Now, it's beginning to make sense, isn't it? And if someone can help you carry the load, and you all know about this church does that so wonderfully, bearing one another's burdens when they can't. Mowing lawns, taking care of animals, things like that. You all do that so well. You're bearing another's burden because they can't. It says when you do that, you're fulfilling the law of Christ, of loving one another. That's a testimony to you. And God looks and says, well done. In that moment, you're achieving your purpose of bearing another's burden. But catch this, there's a time when your burden and mine together are too heavy for us. When your purpose in life and mine are together and we still can't get the job done. It's at that moment when it says that this is what God's called us to. It's a task where we need God to finish it off. That we've done everything we can. We've worked as much as we can. Now God has to step in. Supernaturally sometimes. To finish the job. We need that. We need God to act in those moments. We need God to reassure us that He's on the job. But I promise you, God will not let you put something that you're supposed to do onto His back. He won't do that. He won't. But He will help you learn what you're supposed to carry. And He will help you discern His plan for your life. If I were to restate these verses with the understanding of the purpose behind them, it would be simply this: that God has called us each for a purpose, created us uniquely for something that only we can do, and we have to do it. Along the way, we're going to encounter people who have struggles just as we will, and we help each other along the way. And when it gets too heavy, we always go to God with our purpose, with our neighbor, and with our desire for the lost and the hurting in our world. That's a very simple way to look at that, but it's the most profound way to me, because the command is this: you do not carry your burden alone. Do not carry your burden alone, says the Scripture. Share it. And the other thing is, when we do that, when we share our burdens with one another, it draws us closer. You know, the greatest gift we can give one another is our time. And the greatest gift we can give during that time is our vulnerability, our brokenness, our weaknesses. How good is it to meet with someone who's your friend and let them say to you, "I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do this. And if you need any help with this, I can do this, and I can do this." You know, it's nice to know that you have someone you can call on for those things. But doesn't it make you feel closer to someone who says, "You know, I'm not perfect, and I need you to help me with this sometimes. Not all the time, but there's going to be times when I feel weak. Can I call you?" You know, if someone says that to me, I feel cared for, because they're letting me into their circle of love. That is why bearing one another's burdens fulfills the law of Christ, is we fill up the love of Christ when we ask for help with a weight that's too heavy. And it honors the other person. When you're hurting, don't you like to have someone let you know it's going to be all right? It's going to be all right. It's going to work out. It's going to be okay. Or are you the kind of person that likes to isolate and say, "I hurt too much right now, don't come near"? Scripture says we are not built that way, that we need to share. And the purpose that God has made us for that's unique will bless many people if we'll use it. This week, if God puts you in a position where you feel like you need help, but you're afraid to, the command simply is, let someone help you. Ask for help. Reach out. Carry what you can carry. The purpose for your life. But the weight, let others and God know about it. Folks, this is good news. This is a command. I like it. It means I get to be me and do what I need to do for God, and I get to help you, and I don't have a choice if I want to be obedient. So if you're brokenhearted, fearful, be not afraid. Your Lord is near to save you. And His people will comfort you and strengthen you along the way.